Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. And just to kind of give a brief context to what's going on in this passage we see Josiah coming into his reign. And King Josiah decides that he wants to follow God as David his father had once done. And so by doing so, he decides that he needs to purge the land of Judah of its sin and its idolatry. And then after he purges the land of Judah and tears down all the idols of Baal and other false gods, he then requests or commands that the temple be repaired. So construction work begins and they start to repair the temple. But in the process of them doing this, they find a book, the book of the law. And with this, they take it to the king and they read it to him. And King Josiah sees and is shed light upon the fact that him and the nation have not been following this book. They have not been abiding by the law, which draws him to repentance. And he comes before God. He inquires of God and says, we need to figure out what God will do because we have not been obeying. So the inquirer of God and the prophetess tells him, God will judge the land of Judah. He's bringing judgment upon this land. But for you, King Josiah, because you've humbled yourself before me, I'll forgive you. And you will see peace during your days of reign. And then he brings about a revival to the nation of Judah. That's where we pick up here. If you would, notice the first seven verses. So starting in verse number 1, 2 Chronicles 34 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and inclined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, or the graven images, into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. We see that Josiah's first order of business when he came to reign Judah was to be seeking after God. And when he was seeking God, he decided, I need to purge the land. I need to purge out the sin and this idolatry of these idols. And I need to tear down the false images of Balaam. I need to get rid of this sin and idolatry that's in my life and that's in the nation's life. That word purge means to be pure, clear, Levitically uncontaminated, morally innocent, holy, to cleanse, to purge. The reason he did this is very important to this message. And that is because he decided to follow after God. Read again verse number 3. It says, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and from the groves, the carved images and the molten images. Josiah knew that he could not both serve the false gods of this world while at the same time serving the one true holy God of Judah and of Israel. He can't do it. He sees that there is open sin, this open rebellion, this open idolatry going on in the land of Israel. And he says, this can't do. We cannot have this in our life while at the same time trying to serve God. Doesn't work. I have to purge this out. I have to get rid of this out of my life in order to follow and to seek after the holy God of Israel. We see in Exodus 20, verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. As we can see from these verses, we cannot serve both our own selves, our own sinful flesh and desires, while at the same time be surrendered to God. No, you cannot. If you want to follow after God and truly live for Him, then folks, there has to be some purging that happens in your life. You have to get rid of the unholiness. If there's some sin in your life, if there's something that you know is wrong, that you know is against God's word, you can't grip it and hold on to it while at the same time say, God, I'm seeking you. I'm trying to find your will, and I just don't know why nothing's going right. No, you have to pursue holiness. You have to be holy, set apart, purge your life of the open sin and rebellion that may be there. That word holy means that we are set apart. We ought not to look like the world. You ought not to, when a coworker sees you, he should see that there's something different in you. He shouldn't see the same idols that he worships every day, if I can put it that way. He shouldn't see the same sins. He shouldn't see you cuss. He shouldn't see you do these unholy actions. No, there ought to be or have been some purging that has happened in your life where you've tossed that old sin, that old flesh away. Not perfectly. And don't mistake me. I'm not talking about a work-based salvation here. Okay, I'm not saying you have to purge your life of all sin before you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's not what I'm saying. But I am talking about a Christian who wants to follow after God's will, who desires to know God on a deep level, to grow in his relationship with God. And you cannot do that when you have open sin and rebellion in your heart. Amen. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of thy mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to be holy unto the Lord, and we cannot do this. We cannot be set apart or other than and have open sin in our life. Now, if you were to read verses 18 through 22, then you would see that when Josiah heard the word of God, he found that he and the nation were at fault, and he sought God in repentance. When Josiah was confronted with the word of God, it shed light on the fact that there was still more work to be done. Yes, he had purged the land. Yes, he had done right. Yes, he had done that. But he also the sin of the nation had been going on for a long time. There had to be repentance. He had to come before God. He had to repent before God. And some people have a false notion that in the Old Testament times, people were saved by works. But I don't see that in this text. When God talks to Josiah and says, I'm sparing you, he doesn't say, I'm sparing you because you've tossed the sin out of your life. No, he says, Josiah, I've seen your tears. I see that you're repentant. I see Amen. That you're sorry. And for this reason, I'm forgiving you. So again, there's no work-based salvation, but if there is that sin in your life, you have to toss it out. Right. You can't keep that in your life and pursue God. It just doesn't work. We need to do the same. When the Word of God is preached, or when we read it and we see our fault, we see where we've messed up, we need to come before God in repentance as Josiah had done and say, God, I am sorry. Please forgive me and help me to purge my life of this wrongdoing. Because of Judah's continued sin and rebellion, they would be judged. As Pastor talked about last Wednesday, there's a line that God has set for how far you can go before he will judge you. No man knows where this line is. We don't know where it's at. But be warned, lest you pass that line and there's no return. Repent to God. Toss the sins. Purge the sins out of your life before you cross that line. Notice with me verses 29 through 31. It says, sorry, when I get there. it says, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he He read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in the place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which were written in this book. This is my question for you today. How can he make that further commitment to the word of God if he didn't know the word of God? He's making the commitment. He's saying, God, now that we've found your word, I'm going to endeavor to know it better and better every day. I'm going to abide by it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to memorize it, and I'm going to follow it. May I encourage you here today, be in the word. You can't say, I'm seeking after God's will, but never open his book. Because there's no living, breathing relationship there. A relationship with God works just like human relationships do. I'll give you this example. Let's say there was a male and a female. They're both dating, okay? This dating couple. But they never talk to each other. They never go out on dates. There's no communication between the two of them. Is this a relationship? No, at least not a living one. And vice versa, if the man talks to the woman, but she never talks to him, that's also not a relationship. Friend, you can't say, oh, I pray to God, I have a relationship with him, but you never open the book. He's not speaking to you. It's not a living, breathing relationship. If you want to deepen your walk with God, you have to be in his word and you have to be under the sound of his preaching while at the same time talking and praying to him. Notice with me verse 33 in this passage. It says, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. I think it's important to know that he took away all these abominations. He purged the land of sin and idolatry for this reason, so that the nation could also follow God. When he saw in his heart that there needed to be work, he got that taken care of. He fell and he repented. Now he said, my land, my kingdom needs to follow after God. And he brought them. He led his people to following God. And all the days of his reign, they departed neither from the right hand nor to the left. They didn't depart from following after God. We ought to do the same. When you see that sin, that open sin and rebellion, you ought to purge it out of your life. And when that's gone, you ought to be a shining light to others. You ought to lead others to following after God as well. So kind of in the summary of this passage real quick, we see that Josiah desires to lead a holy life before God and knows that he cannot do this without purging the sin and idolatry that is already there. Amen. In both his and the nation's life. He purges or cuts off the sin and seeks the Lord by counting his house important. We can see this by the fact of his expensive effort to repair the temple. Then he hears from God's word, is confronted with his and the nation's rebellion, and rather than give up or continue in his sin, he asks God in repentance to forgive him. And God hears and forgives him. And this forgiveness doesn't drive him backward into sin, but forward into a deeper commitment to the word of God and forward into a deeper commitment to following after his will. And lastly, we see how this commitment to the word of God came Josiah's desire to lead his nation to a revival back to God. Amen. Perhaps you see a need for revival in your friends and in your family. But that revival cannot take place in this nation or in your family until it takes place right here in your heart. Amen. It must take place in your life before you can ever affect others. And that's exactly what we see happen here. It first took place in his heart, then it took place in the rest of the nation. You too can see a revival in this nation. Amen. You may think, how can I see revival in the nation of America? I think the answer is simple. One church at a time. One individual at a time. It doesn't necessarily have to happen in the White House. It happens right here at New Heights Baptist Church. I'm not trying to say that we're somehow unholy and maybe there's hidden sin. I don't know. I have nothing in mind. But it has to start here before it can start in the White House. Amen. If you want to see a revival in this nation and other nations, it must start in your heart. You must endeavor, my family would be holy even if no one else is. Amen. I'm going to purge the sin out of my life. And I'm going to endeavor to follow God and know his word better and better every day. And then, just maybe, we can see a revival both in our nation and our families.
Amen.
I just close with this. Josiah sought to follow after God by humbly obeying his word and by purging his life and Judah's lives of idolatry and sin. Let's close in prayer.